Grave Tone.
Welcome to Grave Tone Podcast, where horror comes to life in every form it takes. I'm Megan.
And I'm Arthur.
And we're a day late. Oh.
What?
We got back really late last night, so we didn't record.
Oh.
When we got home, which we normally do. But it was late and we were tired.
I was like, we got daylight? What?
No, we're a day late.
Oh, I heard we got daylight. I'm like, yeah, that's usually you wake up and there's daylight.
I mean, okay, if I'm honest, it's sunny for the first time in like 3 days right now.
Okay, fine.
So, you know, I'll take it. It's been raining a lot. I'm very tired. It's new release day, everyone. Well, technically yesterday was, but at the time that you are hearing this, we will have gotten back last night from seeing the 2026 remake, reboot, requel, spiritual sequel, I don't know. The 1978 cult classic Faces of Death. This is one of those requel ones that has the exact same name. So there's no, like, you know, like the way that every requel that has been made in recent years, they just keep the same name. And yeah, you're like, oh, okay. So I can't, if I Google it, I could come up with either one.
You just have to type the year at the end.
Pretty much, to be able to differentiate. So we just got back from seeing that last night. I guess as a bit of context, neither of us have ever watched the original Faces of Death film.
Yeah, it looks kind of fucked up.
It does. So
I don't know, man.
I mean, I'm not opposed to like exploitation films and things like that. And in the 70s and things, these were like a huge type of filmmaking sort of trope that occurred. So this original film was created by, written and directed, excuse me, by a man named John Alan Schwartz, but he used like 3 or 4 different pseudonyms for all of the work that he did on the film, probably because he knew there would be backlash for it, I assume, in some capacity. It's credited as basically a Mondo horror film, which means it's like a documentary or mockumentary style film, essentially. And it centers around a forensic pathologist who is narrating essentially his idea about death or different types of death that he refers to as faces of death. And so throughout the course of the film, he examines different allegedly real clips of people dying in different ways, being killed, whatever the case might be, and credits them as different types of faces of death and sort of examines them from a pathologist's standpoint to kind of determine findings about it, essentially. So it's kind of done almost to a degree anyway. Like, it has a lot of intense stuff in it and it's very shocking, but it's kind of done as almost like an educational sort of video to a degree. And it spawned a multitude of different sequels because, of course, it was, you know, kind of panned when it was released, because when the film came out, the thing is, obviously, throughout the course of the film itself, the actual, I guess, deaths that we see on screen of people being killed, like, on screen itself, are fake. They're not real. I'm sure it was treated as though they were at the time, so there must have been a lot more controversy around it when it came out. However, the film does show depictions, particularly in, like, cut footage of a number of different disasters throughout history, and the aftermath of them. So technically there are visuals of corpses and people who have been gravely injured in an accident or something of the like, or maybe, you know, a video that's cut right before somebody is very badly injured, whatever the case may be, that were actually real videos, you know. And it ranged from something as big as like videos of the aftermath of like the Holocaust and things to that degree, and a very large and very unfortunate plane crash that had happened actually that year in 1978. So again, this would have gotten a lot of attention. It was the crash, if I'm not mistaken, of what was it, PSA flight, I believe it's 182. This was a flight that was flying, I think, from Sacramento to San Diego in California. And unfortunately, it was a Boeing flight that collided with a smaller private plane in midair. And I think something like almost 150 people were killed. And it crash landed in San Diego.
And
so
they showed that.
They showed
the aftermath.
Footage of the aftermath.
That's
throughout the course
fucking
of the
insane.
Exactly. So there was a lot of that kind of stuff, a lot of these like very shocking things that, of course, would have, one, added to the shock factor of the film, but also brought audiences in people are fascinated by the idea of things like this. And I'm sure that's part of the reason that the film was created in the first place.
Yeah.
So this led to a huge cult following. Apparently, there is a guesstimation that the budget for the film was roughly $450,000. And then it would go on to make $35 million at the box office. And it became one of those that was taboo enough that, you know, you can't really get it on home. Like, you can't find it on digital. You can't find it on streaming. People have old VHS copies of it. Yeah. And there weren't that many of them made. So it's one of these that has this, like, aura of, I don't know, like, taboo-ness around it to a degree. And so it's become this kind of, like, lasting, I think it's left a lasting impression on you know, movie-going audiences, particularly from that time period. And it spawned a number of different sequels, a lot of which seem to use a lot of recycled clips from what I was reading from the first film. And there would be some throughout the course of the 80s into the 90s a little bit, maybe like late 90s. And then everything kind of died out. And now we have gotten a...
So how does that all relate to the new movie?
Yeah, so now what we've gotten is this kind of requel to a degree, because this is a film that modernizes the concept, obviously, of what we're watching and doesn't really take things in the documentary style anymore.
Right.
Which I think is pretty clear from the trailer, if I'm honest. But, you know, takes that and does something different with it, but then allows for references to the original film.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And brings back, again, that cult following aspect of it, but modernizes things for the TikTok era and gives us a social media version to a degree of a film like this.
I mean, that makes sense. That's how you would distribute it now.
Exactly. Right? It would be through these like exploitative clips on social media platforms. So it takes that idea and it updates it for a modern audience. Now that said, I will say it doesn't do the exact same stylization of it. It's not done in documentary style. There are little bits throughout the course of the film that are, because there are clips that are used, but it's not like that straight the entire way through the movie. So it takes things and it twists sort of the type of narrative that you're getting from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. So before we get into kind of like a deeper plot and what we liked, didn't like, and then obviously, you know, the spoiler bits, which, you know, we're going to warn you guys about before, make sure to, you know, follow us on the platforms, leave a rating. Thank you very much for that. That really, really helps
a lot.
And, you know, if you want a written version of this, editorialized and a bunch of other stuff that's happening on the website, visit gravetonepod.com.
Check it out. We're really fun, I promise. Okay, so should I do quick IMDb synopsis and then we can talk through general feelings and kind of first impressions and stuff?
I mean, I guess IMDb before we go into the more detailed one.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right, just to give us like somewhere to kick off. Okay. A woman employed as a website content moderator comes across a series of violent videos reproducing death scenes from a film. Full stop. That's it.
Wow.
I mean, technically that's true.
Okay, but they're all technically true, but this literally says nothing.
I know. It doesn't tell you what the movie's about.
Okay.
Anyway.
So what did she do with it? Did she delete them? Did she approve them? That's the thing.
We don't know,
okay, but
right?
Like, if I'm reading this and I know nothing about, this is ridiculous.
You're like, well, this sounds boring. Because they don't even reference that there's like an original film. Anyway, whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So, first impressions for you coming away from it. How do you feel about it? And again, prefacing, we don't have any attachment, I will say, to the original franchise.
Yeah, because
so
we haven't seen it.
We haven't watched it.
And watch it because, like I said, it was maybe a little bit too fucked up for me to watch, even though I understand, you know, most of that was fake and whatnot.
Yeah, it's still,
you know, like it looks kind of freakishly weird and real enough.
I don't mind.
And also it has
but
kind of like that old school glare to it.
Oh, God, yeah.
That just makes it seem like it was just real.
Yes.
You know, back in the days, whatever. So
films like this are very gritty in a way that did, and I can understand why audiences would have questioned at this time, like, what the fuck am I watching this actually happen on screen? Because it kind of looks like you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Anyways, I really enjoyed this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I liked a lot. The story was good. You know, the way that they interwoven, that how you say that word.
Interwove,
I guess. The original movie into this one.
Yes.
Which actually made a lot of sense. Yeah. You know, because like it's a guy who is essentially trying to recreate
the scenes from the scenes original
from the original one, yeah. But for the TikTok platform, which is called Kino. In this movie. You know, so like all that kind of ties in and makes a lot of sense. The mm-hmm. performances were really good. Some of the kills were, you know what? I actually thought it would be worse
than what was shown.
Because like the whole marketing thing, and everyone's talking about this, is that the whole marketing thing, they're like, oh my God, it's been removed from everywhere. It's too crazy to see.
Yeah.
It's too jarring for the public audience.
But they were going off of like the original film, right?
Yeah. And like all the posts you see on Instagram, it's like it has that censored thing, you know, like you have to click to see what it is.
I will say their marketing campaign was very clever.
It was very good. But I was like, okay, I went in and expecting that it's going to be like, oh my God, like, you know, I'm going to be sitting there and be like, okay, I cannot eat my popcorn right mm-hmm. now because I need to put it on the ground because it's gross.
Yeah.
No.
No,
not at all.
No.
I've seen worse movies than this.
Yeah, I will.
You know what I mean?
I think this is a good, if you've not watched it yet and you're just like listening to maybe the beginning of the episode because you're not sure if you want to go see it.
Yeah.
I will say that, yeah, as it's not one of those that's just like violence the entire way through for the sake of violence and stuff. So don't feel like you have to shy away from it necessarily.
Yeah. I think the worst scene, and we'll talk about it after
in the
spoiler side of things, was kind of like the one that was the most gruesome, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And even then, it just looked fake. You know what
kind
I mean?
Of,
like it
yeah.
looked fake enough
yes.
that you were like, yeah, this is not that bad.
And we have to think about things from the perspective as well, that we're looking at this as a 2026 audience.
Yes,
where
of course.
We see so much stuff, so many effects, so
we're
many things.
So very desensitized to this.
And your brain
thing.
Is so on the whole like, oh, it's fake. Oh, it's AI. Oh, it's this. Oh, yeah. It's that. And like spotting where you can find that little flaw that you're like, yeah, no, that's not real.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
those types of things, right? So yeah, it makes
sense.
That's
it. I mean, look, regardless, I still liked it a lot. I thought it was, you know, well done.
Mm-hmm.
The performances were great.
Yeah, they were good.
So that was awesome. I would definitely give it a solid 6.5.
Ooh, look at you with your digs right away.
Out of 10. Hey. Well, yeah. Yeah, digs are not spoilers. We can talk about it now.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's true. Well, we do. We usually do digs first. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you?
You know, I feel like I'm kind of the same mind. Again, that's it. I mean, exploitation films of that era are not super duper my thing, if I'm honest.
Sure.
I don't hate them. And there are some that I think are really interesting. And I think that they live properly in their own canon of filmmaking. I just don't gravitate towards them. They are.
We're
very
not going to seek it out and put it on the background while you're making
like,
a pie.
It's
you
just
know?
Not my kind of thing. They are very gritty and unsettling, and so it's just not something that I regularly would be in the
right.
mood to watch in the first place. I'm sure I'm not the only person, but I'm sure a lot of people are really into that kind of thing, and that's totally fine. It's just not really for me. So I guess I was happy enough that this kind of did update things and sort of take us out of that format of simply a series of scenes mm-hmm, of horrible, mm-hmm. violent things happening. Not saying that that would have been terrible. This could have been like a found footage style film and I wouldn't have hated it necessarily.
Okay.
I don't think I would have minded that aspect of things, but I...
But it had like a string of events that made sense.
Oh, for
and,
sure.
You know,
yeah.
Like...
I think the way that they did it, I'm not unhappy with at all,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, that's it.
Like overall, it was just, it was enjoyable. It's got an enjoyable like kind of psychological cat and mouse game
yeah.
going on yeah. to a degree. That was like, you know, an interesting enough through line. It wasn't perfect. There's some stuff that's it. We can talk about a little bit later, like maybe dialogue wise and a few things that were like really, really, really on the nose. Sometimes we're lacking nuance in some things or like the ability for people to make up their own minds about what the message is. And I'm
right,
like,
right.
It's not necessary, guys. It's okay. It's okay. People don't have to just be like shoved, you know, all of the opinion.
Nowadays, man, you'd be surprised.
I know. I guess you're not allowed to.
Now it's like any movie that happens or
TV message.
Show,
yes.
You go on Google and it's like, oh, type in movie name, movie ending explained.
Oh,
and you're
always.
Like, you know, the dog survived. That is the ending. There's no other message in the movie. It's like, the dog is alive. I don't know what to tell. That's the ending.
True enough.
But that's, so, anyways.
Yeah. But yeah, overall, I think there were a fair few very committed performances in the film, which I was surprised about. It had like some really solid moments in it. It had some good moments of tension overall and everything. And yeah, I don't know. Overall, I thought it kind of tied itself together quite well. So I think I'm sitting in the same range. I'm about like a 6, 6.5 out of 10. It was enjoyable. Like it was just an interesting enough film to watch. I didn't have a bad time with it at all, really.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Cool. Let me just run through cast briefly before we get into like the more spoilery stuff and our favorites and all the rest of the maybe more major plot points that we'll go through as well. So the film does have actually like a fairly well-known cast in it as well. Barbie Ferreira, who most people know from like Euphoria, and she also had a little bit part in Jordan Peele's Nope also. She plays the lead character of Margot.
She was a Nope.
Yeah, she was. She works at the video store or whatever character Angel.
Yeah. Oh, shit. That's cool.
Yeah, she's in that for 5 minutes. So she plays Margot. She's the lead character. She is a content moderator.
She was damn good.
At the app keynote. Yeah, I thought she was great. I mean, I really liked her in Euphoria when I did watch that show. I thought she was really good. I don't blame her for leaving. And it's cool that she's been able to kind of like branch out and she's doing her own thing now. I think that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So good for her. Mm-hmm. It also stars Dacre Montgomery as Arthur Spevek. Of course, Dacre Montgomery, most people will know from Stranger Things. He played the character of Billy for a couple of seasons. Did an excellent job in that show. I will say he did. His performance was very good, and it is also excellent in this film. His character is very unhinged. I'm not going to go into too much detail about it to give too much away about all the stuff that happens, but his character is very unhinged, and I found he pulled it off like really well.
Yeah, he plays kind of like a duality.
It's very interesting to see. Yeah.
It is very interesting to see. Yeah.
Other characters are the character of Samantha, who's played by Josie Tota, who's an influencer. Aaron Holiday plays Margot's roommate, Ryan, who's a sweetie pie. He's so cute.
Where is he from? He was...
So he was in an episode from what I had looked at really briefly.
He was in something.
He was in an episode of Euphoria, which is maybe where like the connection came from. But he's also in Cocaine Bear, which might be what
crap, it is. That's why. Yeah. Yes, he's one of the quote-unquote bullies with really short shorts.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so he's in that as well.
Oh, Jesus.
So his character's really sweet. And then small other ones too. I mean, not really small. Jermaine Fowler is in the film as well. Oh, love him. Jermaine Fowler from The Blackening. And what the hell was that movie that we saw at Fantasia last year?
I don't remember, but I need to put it on the like the movie picker. The horror movie picker.
I mean, it's not really a horror movie, though, is it?
No, but still.
I know. I'm just saying. Terrestrial. Sorry, there guys. Which we saw at Fantasia last year, which was so much fun and fantastic, like dark sci-fi comedy type of mashup of a bunch of different things. Mm-hmm. It was really good.
It was incredible.
And he's wonderful in everything that he does, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And Charlie XCX also has a very bit part. I actually thought she'd be in it for longer. I was like, oh, she's in one scene. Anyway.
Two.
Oh, fine, too. There you go. Yeah, that's it. She's not in it very much at all. But she's obviously, she's starting her own. I think she's getting into acting to a degree because far as I'm aware, she's meant to be appearing in a couple of other, I mean, she's gotten like a few under her belt at this point. And she's meant to be, I think, like popping up in a few other films that are on the way as well.
Whatever, doesn't matter.
Mother Mary, I believe.
Sure.
Yeah, that's coming out too. Something like that. So, anyway. Full cast, that's kind of what everything looks like, and there are obviously some other smaller characters as well. So why don't we get into the spoilery bit of thing? We can go through a plot a little bit in a little bit more detail.
Yeah, in a little bit in more detail.
Yeah, that's and talk about some of our favorites, least favorites, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, spoilers, guys.
You've been warned. Spoilers ahead.
Do you want to, how about I run through maybe more overarching premise?
Yeah, like give us more of what happens in the movie because that IMDb bullshit is stupid.
Yeah, we know this. So
tells you nothing.
No.
That just tells me that she was just sitting there and the movie is her clicking buttons for 2 hours.
I know, yeah.
Like, or she's like sleuthing at the computer for, no.
Yeah, that's
there's
it.
So much more
there's
that
lot,
happens.
There's a lot more going on and there's a lot of kind of commentary about social media and
oh my God, so much.
What makes people popular and the kind of sick sort of love that people have for really fucked up shit that they find on the internet.
Yep.
So, as mentioned, Barbie Ferreira plays the character of Margot, who is a content moderator.
Margot Romero.
Romero.
Also,
yeah.
That's for sure a reference.
It must. Like, yeah, you're right. It must be. It's true. I think I realized it. You know what? They said her name earlier in the film, her full name, but I think it wasn't until I saw it written down at one point that I was like, oh, okay. So Margot is a content moderator at basically a copy of like TikTok, which is an app that they call Kino in the film. It is a social media app, short clips shared, all that kind of stuff. She spends pretty much her entire day, you know, watching videos that have been flagged and determining whether or not they can be allowed on the platform. And through her work every day, she starts to come across these very odd videos that appear to be videos with like a lot of mannequins and weird shit in them, but they appear to be videos of different people being killed in different ways. And there's a very strange narration that's overlaid over top of it that she does not know at first, but through posting on Reddit when she starts to question what's going on.
On the old Reddit.
On the old,
yeah,
the old
Reddit. Yeah, it has like the old school skin to it, whatever it is. Because the movie set in 2024, I don't remember if it had it at that time. I guess it did. Yeah. It just feels like it had the new skin forever. Anyways, it doesn't matter.
I don't know. Anyway, when she gets curious about this and it starts to raise some red flags in her brain, she starts posting about it on Reddit to get other people's opinions as to whether or not these look like real deaths in some capacity.
Well, yeah, she's trying to do the whole thing, don't fuck with cats.
Yes.
To get the whole internet.
That's it, to get people's opinions on things and look into it. And when she does this, one piece of information that she is given is that someone's like, oh, this reminds me of Faces of Death. And so when she looks into it, she comes to realize that whoever is making these videos is copying scenes from the original Faces of Death film from 1978, particularly not all of the scenes of like actual real stuff in the film, but the scenes that were created for the movie of people like being killed, essentially.
Yeah.
And when she does this, of course, it starts her on basically a sleuthing investigation to discover who this fucking monster is who's murdering people and putting it online, and then we get a lot of split POV between herself and between the character of Arthur, played by Dacre Montgomery. Arthur Spevak is the killer.
Not this Arthur.
No, not this Arthur. My God, when they said his name yesterday, I tee-heed a little bit in the theater. I was like, his name's Arthur. And so that's it. So Arthur actually is the person who's doing this. He is obsessed with the original film and obsessed with the fame that he is gaining through posting these videos.
Yes, that all are that basically dopamine that you
from
get
the viral
from
video
media
stuff. Yeah. And he has this like sick sort of fascination with it. So it becomes a cat and mouse game of her trying to track down who the fuck this guy
but
is.
But also he's trying to track down
her. Trying to track her
because
down.
Because he saw the post on Reddit and he was like, anyways.
Yeah. And so it leads into like this entire sequence of events while also we're still watching Arthur keep up with the people that he's collecting to use for his videos as well. And so Margot becomes entangled into this whole situation because no one will listen to her because everybody thinks women are hysterical and no one listens to them. And Margot, unfortunately, had a very traumatic incident occur, I want to say maybe a couple of years prior, I guess we're given to understand, where unfortunately she was making what again was supposed to be a viral video with her sister in where they were doing like a TikTok dance on train tracks
and they were supposed to like jump off of
they're
it
supposed
on
to
the
jump
last
off at the
minute,
last second
last
and
second
unfortunately when they did that, you know, because the way the train tracks are laid, most of them have big rocks, right? Like big stones or like a bunch of like gravel and stones on either side of the tracks themselves with the way that they're
gravel.
Raised unfortunately her sister, when jumping off of the tracks at the last second, slipped, fell backwards, and was killed by the train when it went by. So obviously Margot, you know, went through like a horrible situation and now is just kind of trying to live her life out of the spotlight because the video went viral.
Of course.
And everybody knows her as Train Girl, which is fucked, by the way. That's crazy. And so she's almost like she bumps into people in public and they make fun of her. That's nuts. That's insane. I couldn't wrap my mind around that. I was like, man, people are fucked up. So she tries to live her life in sort of solitude to a degree until all of this starts happening and she becomes convinced that there's more going on than people think and that these videos are not being faked. They are, in fact, real. So,
yeah. That's it. That's a very long IMDb.
Sorry.
That's not going to fit on the page.
No, definitely not. Okay, shall we kick off with maybe favorites? Do you want to start with what you liked?
Yes. Favorites. There's like a lot of stuff that I liked about the movie. I have to say, the thing that I'm still remembering, because like we watched it very late last night, came back home at like 1 a.m. anyway.
Yeah.
Whatever. It was actually nice to sleep on it for once, mm-hmm. you know?
It's true. We rarely do. It gives you more time to collect your thoughts.
Yeah, kind of a little bit. I really, really, really liked the portrayal mm-hmm. of Arthur.
Okay, yeah.
He played that character. What's his name again?
Dacre Montgomery.
Montgomery. Yeah. That's it. I mean, I liked him in Stranger Things because yeah. he was like, you know, pretty fucked up there as well.
I think he's got a good range of unhinged.
Yeah, actor. That's it. The way that he played this character, I don't know if he's done any kind of like crazy research into serial killers, I guess you want to call it.
Feels
at this
like
point.
He was inspired by like other film serial killers and stuff. You know, probably. Like those like kooky ass fucking types of characters.
Yeah, but
you
he
get.
Was also like, there's that scene when he's like psyching himself up to walk to the house yeah. at night, and he's going like, oh, you know, and he's like kind of like as if he's about to like deadlift yes. 300 pounds yes. at the gym. Like that was cool. I don't know if that was yeah. direction. That
and
was
he like
him.
Slaps himself in the face a lot yeah, and stuff yeah, too, to psych himself up. And you're like,
that was incredible. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like his craziness when he is trying to not catch, but I guess kill one of the people yes. that escapes, obviously, because of course that's going to happen in a movie like this. You know, he's like trying to help her.
Oh yeah.
But in a kind of like a sarcastic, funny way, gross. Like, how yeah. I'm going to get you anyways. Like that was insane.
Yeah.
And that was, I don't know if that was like incredible direction or if he decided to do it that way or a combination of both. Like it was so well done that I believed him. You know what yeah. I mean? Like it was, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fucking crazy. Agreed. Like I meet this guy in the street, I'm like, nah, man.
No, I have to go. But the problem is that he does this wonderful duality of character where when he presents himself to a lot of people, he makes himself look small and
yes.
he makes his voice more nasal and high pitched so he seems less intimidating as a person. And he does a very good job of it. He doesn't really look people in the eyes because he's trying to make himself look uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah, when he's like stalking his victims type of thing.
Yeah, and when he's speaking to people in situations in which he's not doing anything crazy or fucked up, like, you know, he won't look right at them.
Yeah.
He looks away or he, you know, that's it, kind of like he hunches his neck a little bit, like to make himself look more diminutive and like less intimidating. He also, you know, he dresses himself in this very particularly baggy coat. So you can't tell that this guy's built.
Right. That's it. Yeah.
Which makes sense because there's a lot of physicality to what the character does to catch people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if he were very scrawny or something, you'd be like, wow, that must be really hard to do. But the size that he is, I'm like, no, I believe it.
Yeah.
This guy really works for it.
Yeah. It's really well done. Seriously, that's mm-hmm. like his part is great. That's my number one.
Okay.
What's your number one?
I think that if I have to kind of pick something, because yeah, there were quite a few aspects of the film that I really liked, but I think if I had to pick something to start with, it's probably what I was talking about earlier, which is sort of to a degree the commentary that the film creates and discourse that the film can create around people's sick fascination with these types of videos that are posted online mm-hmm, where they mm-hmm. take off and they become viral because people have this little thing in the back of their brain that's like, oh, this is horrible. But they're like, oh, but is it real though? Like, I'm just going to watch it again. I'm just going to keep up with it. And like, people are like, this is fucked up. And there's such a disconnect when people are watching a very violent video like these online. Where, you know, we see it in multiple scenes in the film. There are a bunch of comments like, whoa, that's crazy. Yeah, fry him. What the blah, blah, blah. Like, whatever, like, stupid shit that people are saying.
Yeah.
Because there's such a disconnect when something's on your phone screen in particular, I find, that seems to cause people to become almost feral. It's like, it's something that is almost like long lasting in the human race in general. It's like, why did we used to go to public hangings and executions back in the day? Yo,
that's
and stuff.
So wild.
You know what I mean? Like this is our version of that now.
Yeah, yeah.
Is like the safe version of getting to see this stuff online.
It's like
and
a weird
people still thrill get
of
like
it or something.
People get like feral about
yeah,
it. Like they
yeah.
get really fucking weird about it. So I thought that it was cool that they took the opportunity
and
in the
that's
film
why we
to
have
talk about
rage
that.
Rooms. Go to a rage room instead.
Sort your shit out.
Jesus.
But it was good and it was interestingly done because it was interesting that they took the time to comment on these things. And in fact, it's quite like a pivotal aspect of the story itself, yeah. right? Is that like he keeps gaining popularity and followers, Arthur, because people are like obsessed with this kind of video.
Yeah, because they think it's fake, or because they think it's real, it's and the they're like, oh my like, God, oh, but maybe. I'm watching something real, yeah, you know, whatever exactly. it is. Yeah, it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. It's strange because that is actually kind of like how the algos behave in a mm-hmm. sense. You know, they will amplify things that people are engaging with, yeah, but exactly. only up to a certain level. You know what I mean? When it starts to get too racy or too violent, the problem is that people want more of that, but you can't have that on the platform.
Yeah.
So there's like a middle line, a cutoff where it's too much,
yes.
you know, and I guess his videos like that are really just on that cusp mm-hmm. because it seems fake. And yeah. people would be like, there's no way that this is happening for reals, mm-hmm. you know? So I guess, you know, even the first video that Margot moderated, she was like, nah, this is, you know, this is totally fake.
And yeah, she looked at it like three times and she was just like, likely fake. Allow.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, and then as she starts to question, right, the second one that she sees, she goes, not real, question mark?
Yeah, that's she's it. Like, so like, you know, it's at first glance, you obviously see that it's fake. And
of course.
That's kind of like why it goes through and becomes this crazy thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. I would say for me, for sure, the second thing that I liked, and I don't know if this is like a weird too niche of a thing, mm. but the character of Arthur
yes.
is fucking smart, man.
Yes, it's true.
Yo, yeah. that house has hidden doors
yeah.
and it's like... Well, I don't want to say it's modular, but like it has hidden walls.
Yeah.
The hidden doors behind walls. Mm-hmm. It has like another access way that is behind a library kind of like shelf, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then that other whole thing in the basement, it's a whole, obviously, you know, kind of like his killing room where everything he stages to do his, you know, videos that are actually happening for reals.
Yes.
There, he is fucking smart in building it that way specifically. You know, he wears basically like a full bodysuit to make sure there's yep. no like, he doesn't get contaminated.
Well, he has an aversion to blood. I don't yeah, know if exactly. you noticed that.
Well, so that's what I was going yeah. to is that like, despite all of these things that he's doing and he's being really smart and careful and everything, and the fact that he's filming all these crazy ass videos, yep. you know, he still is really a content creator, oh, I guess, yeah. at heart.
Yes.
Or the reason that he's doing this is to create content. So he's like disgusted by blood, especially yes. that it's someone's, because he shoots someone in the video and then, you know, the blood touches his shoe, which is still covered,
yeah.
by the way, in like plastic, whatever it is. He's like, ew. And then he's like wiping it off on the floor.
Yeah, yeah. He's like wiping it off immediately. And he goes, hilarious. He has to clean his entire body after. You see him that cuts to a
yeah,
scene
yeah,
right after
he's
where
like
he's
scrubbing
under his nails, like really, really aggressively at the sink. And you're like,
that's it.
Okay.
I like that. Yeah. I like that duality of the character that he played, mm-hmm. but also that duality of him being like, basically Dexter level
oh, yeah.
smart and being
it's
super
true.
Careful
and
about
also
it. But
Dexter
then,
level meticulous as well.
Well, that's
right?
what I'm saying, right? Yeah, that's it. So Dexter level smart, meticulous about that. But then if something touches him, he's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, and then
much.
Runs away, which is kind of like the duality of the characters that he's yes. playing, like you were just talking about previously. So I thought that was really smart.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was
done.
Really cool.
Yeah.
My second favorite thing, I think, is probably Barbie Pereira's character,
oh, yeah.
her through line, but also her performance, particularly she gets pretty manic before the end of the film as
oh,
well.
Yes.
And it's not a question of, oddly, like a lot of the times when you watch films like this and there's a killer, the killer, because of the portrayal, tends to steal the show to a degree. This I found, you know, like in terms of like the performance that you
right,
remember
yes,
from
yes.
the film, I didn't find that was the case with this. She,
no, they were both. And
she was like real wild. And she carried like everything that was a little bit calmer at the beginning of the film. I thought she carried really well mm-hmm, the level mm-hmm. of increasing tension and increasing stress that she's experiencing all the way through. And then by the time she loses it, I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Yep. So I really appreciated the intensity of playing a character like this, particularly with it always in the back of your mind, like, oh, I'm responsible for my sister's death. I'm responsible for my sister's death.
Right,
and you
yeah,
can
yeah.
see it through the way that she played the character pretty frequently.
Yeah, but also you can see it shift through her where she almost kind of like accepts it over time. Yeah. Because at the beginning of the movie, she's like, you know, anyone mentions this to her, she's like, no, that's it. I'm going inside. I'm never going outside, which literally she does that.
Yeah.
And then towards the end of the movie, like, you know, she's being driven in a taxi and the guy's like, are you like train girl? And she's like, yep, that's fucking me.
Yep.
You know, so she kind of goes through that level of, I guess, acceptance and understanding.
Love. Her stages of grief have been completed, essentially, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, no, it's very smart. I agree. I also enjoyed her character a lot, especially at the end when she's like, you know, very fight or flight type of thing that happens.
And like forces herself into fight. And I'm like,
That's it. Which is, again, kind of goes to say with the whole, you know, being accepting that you're a train girl. She has to go through this experience to accept what is happening.
Yeah, my God,
I feel like we're going way too deep into this. philosophy in the movies. Maybe deeper than we need
to, but honestly, it did. It had some interesting ideas, and the portrayals of the characters were really good. So.
Yeah, I agree. You know what? For number three, completely different other things, mm-hmm. so that we're not too fucking philosophical on this shit. I like the kills. Gave me the blood.
Yeah, they were good.
The everything that they showed, and they showed enough of it. You know what I mean? Even though it wasn't too much, like I said.
Well,
like,
so Arthur does this really scary thing when he takes his victims, where he stabs them with like an EpiPen basically that has fentanyl in it, and it's so jarring and aggressive when he does it, where it's like bam, and I'm like, oh, every time he did it, I was like, oh God, that's horrible.
Yeah.
That leads to some like good setups for kills. They did a good job that way too of his little weird ass recreations of the original film's scenes, but with like all the mannequins and all that stuff.
I did like that part. Like I said, it wasn't too much. Like I thought it was gonna be like almost Hostile level, not like in the disgusting way, but you know, in the gore kind of way.
I kind of thought it was gonna be like
that's
that.
What I said. Yeah, I thought there was gonna be close to that level. It is not even
not really
close to this.
No.
It's really not that bad. Despite that fact, I still liked kind of like that they showed enough of it to be jarring, you know?
Oh, definitely.
And it was well done, so.
And the kills the thing with the kills in this is that they're realistic, so they feel pretty visceral, and you're like, yeah, that's it. God.
Yeah, yeah, it's not like it's extended and they're doing crazy shots or whatever. Yeah, the only thing, like I said at the beginning there before the spoilery bit, before Gary came along, is there is only one scene that was pretty gory, but even then it was unrealistic just because the way that it was shot,
mm-hmm.
Where he's like pouring the acid that's supposed to dissolve body parts onto a victim, right? And he's like, oh, this is what happens when banana, whatever. And I was like, oh shit, this is gonna be really fucked up. But then the body parts just looked fake.
They looked
pretty fake.
I know. You know what I mean? They did.
I'm not saying it was bad, but I'm just saying like that was the goriest part and it was still fake looking. So it's kind of like.
So again, you're not like, like you're not like viscerally affected by the film. This is why I said this again earlier before we got into spoilers, is that if you think that this is going to be too much for you, it probably won't be.
Yeah, no, it's
more
really
toned
not
down
that bad.
Than you think it's going to be. I thought I was going to be more bothered by it.
You know what?
I
wonder if they're going to release some kind of Blu-ray or a special edition where it's like,
Were
they going to have some fucked up shit?
Yeah, I don't
there,
know if they had. Maybe they did more and they had to cut it down for like rating purposes and stuff. Who knows, right?
Yeah.
I think it's possible.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Hey, send us one.
Yeah. I think my third final kind of favorite thing, maybe to start wrapping things up, again, sort of plays on the aspects of what I was talking about earlier with regards to like, you know, people getting crazy on social media for like really fucked up stuff. It's specifically watching the scenes that we see of Margot doing the moderation work that she is doing and the stuff that she allows versus what she doesn't allow. And it's based on like her training and what she's been given to do. But it's so interesting because there are, you know, accidents and like things that look like aggressive and pretty violent and stuff that she's allowing because she's supposed to. And then something as simple as a woman explaining how to administer Narcan to avoid an overdose, which is an educational thing to be doing, she has to flag for drug use. The woman who's showing people how to put a condom on a banana properly, she has to flag for sexually explicit.
Yeah, that makes
and
no
you're like,
sense.
What the fuck? And meanwhile, there are like things where you can kind of see someone like basically falling off a building and stuff. And she allows it.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
No, that seriously. None
what?
Of it, none
so,
of it makes
but
sense.
It's so true because how many times do we see, you know, that a person will have posted something and they're like, hey, I'm reposting this because it was literally flagged and taken down for some stupid shit. And it's just them talking about something.
Right.
And you're like, what? Why would that have been taken down in the first place? When meanwhile, that's it. We're seeing things like, you know, basically videos of people overdosing and stuff. And we're like, oh, well, that's allowed. What do you mean?
It's strange it's how it works. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Some probably governmental regulations and whatever it is. But also at the same time, it's, you know, the decisions of the platform.
I know. Yeah, so, yeah, that's it. No, that's absolutely it. And so that's
they keep saying in the movie, give people what they want.
Yes.
Right? Like they will put up videos and approve videos that are fucked up and whatnot, that will be viral, that people are going to stay on the platform and longer, right?
Like, yeah, if you give them
educational content, it's like, eh.
They're like, oh, no, but they're talking about this thing explicitly. And you're like, what?
Yeah, anyways, whatever.
It's crazy. But I found that it was clever because it was subtle, but it added a lot of additional commentary to how social media platforms are regulated and what's really being shown to you. And the fact that if they know that it'll get more views, you're more likely to be shown the worst parts
of
something. Yeah, so it was just interesting to kind of like have that aspect of things. So yeah, I appreciated that. But yeah, this was just like, it was just a pretty good film, honestly. Like I said, the confrontation that occurs at the end of the movie, between Margot and Arthur, when she's able to like get through, you know, she's gotten into the house, gotten out once, and has come back to try and save the other two people who are stuck in there and everything. When they get to that part, now their final fight and everything, I liked some of the dialogue before that. I thought was like way too on the nose when he starts talking about, you got to give the people what they want and everything. I'm like, okay. And like he has to basically like explain in detail like why his videos are popular and stuff. And we're like, we know.
Everyone has TikTok on their phone.
Like we know. Like I don't need you to like hold my hand and walk me through all of it. And I know it's true. We're getting kind of less nuance in some stuff a lot of the time now. And you can see it in like people's complaints about certain big releases. And I do agree, at least with some of them, even some of films that I've really enjoyed, like Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein. I'm aware that there's no nuance to whether the monster is the good guy in the movie. Like it's a little bit too much. Like it's a little bit too in your face. And maybe it could have used like a bit more of a layer to it, but whatever. Listen, this is kind of what we're getting now. So I agree that like for this one, I feel like this kind of leans too much into that. But outside of those aspects of things, those were kind of the only disappointing sort of points for me in the film. Everything else was just kind of enjoyable the whole way through.
Yeah. No, I agree. All of it.
Yeah.
All of it was pretty good. So that's what it is. Yeah. We have also Exit 8 that we are most likely going to go watch today.
Today.
Super excited about that.
I'm so happy we actually are able to access it.
Yeah, in like one movie theater one that it has in the theater. Area. It's so insane. I mean, look, it's a foreign language movie but anyways, it's been so talked about a lot.
Yeah.
So we're going to check that out. Yeah. And we are finally, because we kind of realized it and we're like, we have not done any horror TV shows. Of any kind.
Yeah, we wanted to.
Even though we say, you know, we do movies, books,
TV, and I promise we're going to do more.
Yeah, so we are going to be covering.
We're going to be talking about Something Very Bad Is Going to Happen. We've recently kind of wrapped it up. I know we might be behind a little bit with it, but hey, listen, we wrapped it up. We watched the whole thing and we kind of want to sit down and chat through a lot of, again, a lot of.
We were talking so much during
the
TV show. So we're like, okay, stop.
Stop doing that.
Leave it for the pod.
Yeah, I think, you know, this gives us a good opportunity to sit down and talk about something that actually, you know, and what I was just saying, does have a lot of nuance and leaves things open to interpretation, which is interesting.
Look at that segue. Yeah. I think someone heard me swallow my tea. Yeah. I'm sorry about that. I was trying to edit it.
You just got to lean. You got to lean more. I know. Oops. Fucking microphones pick up everything. Anyway, so I'm hoping we'll be able to go see Exit 8 today, and then we'll be dropping an episode for you guys about that as an extra little fun extra review. I think just as often as we're going to see new stuff, we're just going to try and drop reviews about it, because why the hell not?
Hey, so, man, you know, at this point, we might be doing 2 episodes a week.
So. Maybe. That's it, at least for a bit. And I mean, God, we're getting a bunch of stuff this week. Faces of Death, Exit 8. There's a new Shark movie called Thrash that just dropped
on
Netflix.
Totally watching it tomorrow.
Yeah, that's happening. So, hey, listen, we're being treated, guys. We've got a bunch of stuff going on. So that's exciting. Lee Cronin's The Mummy comes out next week.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, God. Yeah. So much stuff going on. So it's going to be really fun. Yay. All right. As mentioned, follow us on all of our socials at Gravetone Pod. Check out the website at gravetonepod.com. If you should like to. And we will be back, I don't know, probably within 24 hours next review. So until that time, guys, stay scared and stay tuned.
Ciao, guys.